I want to welcome you. Welcome to PetConversation.com. I'm James Jacobson. I'm your host, and our special guest tonight is Alicia Evans. We are talking about animal communication, animal wellness, and everything you've always wanted to know, but maybe were afraid to ask about pet psychics, animal whisperers, dog whisperers, animal communicators. Well, Alicia is a world-class one of those, and so she's going to be joining us tonight to share with us a little bit about what this is all about, and we're going to be taking your questions. If you have questions, I want to encourage you to go on that page where it says petconversation.com in that box in the lower left. Enter your name, where you're living, where you're calling in, where you're listening to us from, and then your question, and we're going to get to as many questions as possible. We have had the questions up for a couple of days, and we've got questions from all over, and so we're going to be getting to that. But first, I wanted to welcome you, Alicia.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, and I guess I want to get started by asking you the most basic question. What is animal communication?
Well, animal communication is the ability to be able to hear, feel, get pictures of what animals are thinking, needing, feeling, and it's done silently. Mm-hmm. And for me, I receive on all levels. I can hear them, I see pictures that they send, and I can feel what they're feeling if they're stressed out or uncomfortable or they're not feeling well. And I'm able to act as a translator to inform their people what they're thinking, what they're feeling, and what they're needing.
How long have you been doing this?
I actually started doing this in 1998 with an experience I actually had in Hawaii. And I was swimming with a group of dolphins, and I went to a workshop to take an animal communication course. And next thing I knew, the dolphins were swimming around, and I asked them a question, and I actually heard them. I heard them speak to me.
You heard them speak.
Now,
how do they communicate to you? How do they speak to you?
The simplest way I can describe it, did you ever play the number game where you kind of said, okay, you think of a number and I'll think of a number and I'll hold it in my mind?
When I was a kid, I used to call that the
ESP
game, yeah.
Exactly. And did you ever notice how if you were holding a number, let me do it the reverse. If someone else was holding a number and you were guessing,
yeah,
and they said, okay, it's a number from 1 to 50, and
right,
just automatically, like a number would just sort of flash across your forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of said it, and you were right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's an ESP game. It's being able, because what you did at that moment was you tuned into this other person's mind frequency.
So when you're doing it, does it feel like a game?
You know, I've been doing it for so long, it just feels very natural to me. What actually happens for me personally is that I just get very, very quiet inside, almost like if you see the picture of a very still lake at the bottom of a mountain.
Right.
Everything goes quiet inside. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm not trying to figure out anything. Just very quiet. And I hear the words, although I'm not physically speaking them with my mouth, but I hear the words go through my head that I'm going to ask the animal. So I might
say, do you hear them in, like, English, or do you hear the sentiment?
Yeah, I actually hear them in English.
Yeah. Well, so that, I guess that begs the question, do French poodles speak French?
Well, because of the fact that I don't speak French,
yeah,
it has to be translated for me in English.
So do you think, is it your sense, is it your experience that the animals are in fact communicating in English, or is something going on inside your head that is translating the thought, the essence of what they're saying into a language that you understand?
I would go, that sounds extremely correct.
That one, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because it is pretty cool. And when you did this with dolphins, which,
mm-hmm,
I have to admit is the first time that I tried this with other animals, but and when I had really felt it on such an incredibly high frequency is when I too had a similar experience with dolphins, and
right,
they have this ability to just, I guess, send thoughts or mind or something into your head,
mm-hmm,
but when you had that, what went through your mind? What did you think about when you had that conversation initially?
What did I think about it in terms of what did I think about what they said, or what did I hear them say?
No. Well, I guess both.
Oh.
More importantly, did you think you were crazy?
You know, because I was in a workshop with 10 other people,
and
it was something that I so badly, with all of my heart and soul, I wanted to just know if this was real. I didn't think I was crazy. For me, the experience I had was being in the ocean with them, and all of a sudden, it's like I got this visual of the angels playing the trumpets. When you can, you know, and the like on New Year's Eve when the confetti comes out, and you know, it was the excitement of going, oh my God, now I know what they mean when they say when you find your true passion,
it just
totally envelops you, and that's the way I felt. I was totally enveloped and just so excited, like finding a favorite childhood teddy bear, you know, that you just love so much. And all of a sudden, I just realized, wow, this is what I came here to do. Because when I was 6 years old, my mother had asked me what I wanted to do when I grow up. And I said, I want to be a veterinarian, and I want to help animals heal. And math and science started, and that really made it kind of impossible for me. I just wasn't very strong in math and science.
Right.
So I really kind of just gave up the dream. But I always loved animals, and when I found this coming back to me that I would be able to help them in another way and help them from their perspective, I just was over the top ecstatic. I was so joyful because I felt like I finally found my purpose.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Why? You have clients who are all over the world, and if you go to the website PackWisdomSecrets.com, PackWisdomSecrets, you can see a picture of Alicia with her beautiful dachshund. Go to PackWisdomSecrets.com and take a look at it. You can just open up another browser as you listen to us, or you can actually refresh the one that you're in right now and click on the link in the bottom right. Either way, go to PackWisdomSecrets, take a look at Alicia if you scroll down. And what's interesting, in the yellow box on the right-hand side are all these testimonials from your clients who are also all over the world. And those are people who get – I just heard my doorbell ring. You know what that means?
That means
that my dog is done at the groomer's and that Maui is being deposited. So my wife is going to get that as we continue on. You see, if you missed the beginning of the call, my dog is getting groomed outside at the mobile groomer's. So anyway, with all those clients – what is it that they come to you for in the first place? Why do people come to a pet psychic?
There are so many different reasons. Sometimes it just feels that they've reached the end of their rope. They've gone to the veterinarian because their animal's sick, and the veterinarians have done every single test imaginable, and they can't find out what's wrong with the animal. Sometimes it's because they have a question or there's something going on emotionally or behaviorally with the animal, and they kind of want to know, what do I do? You know, what are they trying to tell me? Sometimes it's just for a confirmation. You know, sometimes people really have a strong feeling about what their animal needs, but they're just not sure that they trust themselves. And so sometimes it's just calling for a confirmation to say, hey, can you check in and see what's going on with my animal? Predominantly, it's something physical or emotional or behavioral related. I would say those are the three biggest parts. And a lot of people call me too when their animals are transitioning or ready to transition, because it's really, really important for them to know that should the time come, if they have to intervene, is their animal okay with it? And is the animal, you know, if the animal needs to cross over, do they want to do so at home? I actually had a woman yesterday who called me through, she was referred by one of my clients. And she had just rescued a two months ago, she had just rescued a German Shepherd who was very sick when she got him. And, you know, connected in with the dog immediately on the phone, and she was so upset because she really, really wanted to help this dog. But sometimes what happens is animals just come to us to transition from a very, very loving place. This dog had been in a shelter, and, you know, he's going to be put down. And she said she just needed to rescue him. I said, and I asked her about it, and I said, so what was the first thing that you felt or experienced when you saw this dog?
Yeah.
And she said, I have to give him a loving home. He has to know that there's love in this world.
Yeah.
And when I connected in with the dog, I knew, you know, he was telling me, he said, I don't think I'm going to make it. It just really felt like he was already kind of crossing over to the other side.
The dog
just helped her.
And so they know that. They know that.
They do. They do. Yeah. And I had another client of mine who had a very, very sick cat. It had tongue cancer. And, you know, by all intents and purposes, the vets were saying, put this cat down. Her friends, her family, she was very, very close with this cat, and he was about 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the cat kept showing me and telling me, he said, you know what, imagine the high lamas and the gurus, the yogi gurus, that kind of can, you know, come in and out of their body at will. And that's what he was doing. He said, I don't want to be put to sleep. I'll go on my own. But I want her to understand that right now I'm not judging this process.
Yeah.
And I'm experiencing what this whole transition process is, and I'm okay. He said, I'm not suffering.
A very wise dog, huh?
Oh, it's amazing.
That's wonderful.
And gives people so much relief.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, I want to welcome you. We have questions from people all over the world who are writing in. To Sylvia in Miami, who just wrote in, is this a live conversation? Absolutely, it's a live conversation. If you'd like to ask your question for Alicia Evans, just type in the question in the bottom left there, and we're going to go to some of those questions. The first, you want to do some questions, Alicia?
Sure.
Okay. There are so many here, and some of them are very specific, so we'll see what we can get with this. Carol Shepherd in Toronto says that she has a 12-year-old dog that has a sore on its paw below the black pads in the middle and licks and licks and licks. Nothing cures it. It's mostly a shepherd mix. I heard old dogs lick their paws continually, and maybe she pulled a hair out and made the small red sore. Is that possible?
Well, here's what tends to happen. Animals, just like humans, have meridians that run through their system. And that's how the energy actually runs through our system, through a whole series of long lines and channels that run our energy through our body. What happens when animals get older is, and even if they've got allergies, when animals start chewing on their paws, what they're trying to do is clear the energy out of a meridian that gets stuck. I would be very curious to know if that dog also experiences arthritis. But my main recommendation would be to go the way of acupuncture for that particular dog, because what the acupuncture can do is clear a lot of the meridian channels, give the dog a lot of relief, and Western medicine won't really clear that because it's not about suppressing the system and stopping the symptom. It's about helping the body's energy refunction by rebalancing it.
Now, you know a little something about acupuncture.
I do.
You've studied with people, and you understand the benefits of it. You're teaching this class that we're going to talk about in a little bit about, it's called At Pack Wisdom Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a five-week class similar to this where you're going to go over curriculum. And you have a whole module dedicated to acupuncture and alternative healing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do people find, if I wanted to get acupuncture for my dog, I have no idea where I'd go to find someone like
mm-hmm.
that.
The first, there's a couple of websites that I can direct people to, and I'd also ask your veterinarian. More and more and more alternative therapies such as acupuncture, chiropractic, massage are all kind of coming to the forefront, and you know, we're starting to realize the benefits to the animals just like we're realizing the benefits to ourselves. So one of the best things to do is ask for a recommendation from your veterinarian or even your local pet store. A lot of local pet stores now are carrying really top quality foods, and so you will get a chiropractor or an acupuncturist that leaves their name at the store that you can contact. And what I always recommend is interview the person. You know, you're bringing your dog somewhere or your cat or your horse, and you want to know, you know, what are your credentials? How long have you been doing this? What results have you seen? What kind of conditions do you work with?
Yeah.
And that's how I would get people started, of being able to check it out. And if you you can go to the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, avhma.org.
Yeah.
And they've got a whole entire listing of every alternative therapy that a veterinarian can be licensed to practice.
Wow, so they can do everything. Dermatology, I know.
Absolutely. Well, here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
Animals, just like people, we have, in Western society, we have tended to treat the body as a whole bunch of separate units, you know.
Yeah.
So we have someone you go to for your ear, nose, and throat. And then if your elbow hurts or your knee hurts, you're going to go to somebody else. And if your back hurts or your stomach hurts, you go to somebody else. The nice thing about the alternative therapies is that they tend to treat the body as an entire system.
Mm.
So when you go for acupuncture and back to, is it Carol? Carol's question?
Yeah, it was Carol, yeah.
Uh-huh. So back to Carol's question, you're not just going to find a remedy to just stop the licking of the paw. You're going to actually backtrack if you use acupuncture.
It treats it holistically.
Exactly. And it treats the whole animal. So you're clearing up the whole thing systemically, not just at the symptom area.
That's awesome. Well, we only got a lot more questions. I just noticed that we have folks who are already ordering and signing up to join you for the class. I want to welcome Janet K. Moore in Alberta, Canada, who just signed up to be with Alicia for this five-week program that starts on Monday, packwisdomsecrets.com. You can read more about it on that website. It's pretty cool. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But let's go to the question, Tom. I don't know where Tom is. He says, do birds eat Geez, I really don't know what he's asking about. Tom is asking, his dog eats bird excrement. How can he get his dog to stop this habit?
Sometimes
I had
animals
to clean it up a little bit.
Excuse me?
I had to clean up his question. I didn't understand.
A lot of times animals will eat excrement when their mineral levels are off balance.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tend to say, I would probably, for his particular issue, I would probably look at adding, I don't know if the dog's on dry food, but I would probably recommend adding in some wet food and also adding some oil into the dog's diet, as well as researching some quality mineral supplements. And you can get a pill form, you can get a liquid form. Kind of find for the animals, a liquid form is most easily assimilated into the body.
Yeah.
But that's what I would look at there.
Here's a question from Tiffany in Solana Beach. I'd like to ask you, what is the best communication? I'd like to ask you what the best communication expression is very effective for the pet's happiness. In other words, how do you communicate in such a way that you know if they're happy?
If they're happy, or you're sharing with them that you're happy.
I'm going to go with it either way because I didn't
quite
understand it yet, but it's,
share
I
with
guess
them
it's both ways.
Yeah, to share with them that you're happy, you just kind of want to sit down, get real quiet, let your breath start opening up your heart and feeling that beautiful, joyful, radiant energy in your heart.
Yeah.
And I would actually also just sit in that space and look at your animal, and you'll get a feeling from that openness what your animal is truly feeling. So you're feeling it rather than thinking it.
Open your heart.
Exactly.
Julie Took in Wilcox is asking, do dogs communicate with each other?
Yes.
I guess they do using the same telepathy, the same communication patterns, or
is it
different?
Well, telepathy, in a lot of ways, when I see pictures, it's what's termed a holographic picture.
Yeah.
So if I was in a room and I took a picture of the entire room, without having to explain, I was in this room, and there was this couch, and then there was this plant, and the walls were this color, and there was a TV, and so-and-so was there. A telepathic picture is just a picture of the entire scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how animals communicate with each other. They get a, you know, photo click of a picture of a scene at the whole time, the whole experience in one picture.
They're
and then they kind of send those back and forth, like, just like a ping pong ball.
So is it like just a bunch of information, and then they can focus on a particular thing?
Well, we as humans, because we tend to judge things and judge whether we like them or we don't like them, we tend to go into a lot of description. about the things that we're seeing. Animals, and especially living in the wild, there's a survival mechanism. So let's say they're hunting, and let's say the dolphins are, you know, together in a pod and they have to go out and hunt. Things have to be so fast and so clear. There's no room for judgments. There's no room for criticisms. They don't sit there and analyze what, you know, what pictures they're showing. They're just showing each other, hey, if you need to go that way, I need to go this way, and let's, you know, let's just get it together all of a sudden, and let's herd the school of fish here so we can all eat.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
It makes total sense.
Okay.
Let's go to another question here.
Sure.
Margaret Wallace from San Jose is asking, can a dog die and come back in another dog's body?
Yes. What happens is an animal can leave, and after a period of time, that soul energy that inhabited the body could decide to reincarnate in another body.
Wow.
So yes, does
that happen often, or is that sort of an anomaly?
I would say in my practice, out of 100%, I would say it probably happens about 7% of the time.
Yeah.
And I've had a client who had a dog who she thought was a previous dog, and it turned out that the dog was actually a cat that she had when she went to college.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so clear because she said, is this dog my prior dog? And I asked the dog, and all of a sudden I got this image of this picture of a cat, a black and brown cat. And we started talking about it. She said, oh, my God, I've got to show you this picture. And when she showed me the picture of her cat who had passed away when she had gone to college, that's the exact cat I saw.
Wow.
So they're very clear about who they are.
I take it from that you really don't have to be with the animal when you do the
reading.
So you can not only be a long way away, I guess, over the phone, but they actually can be on, I guess what they call it, the other side, and you can communicate.
Yes. Okay. And I've got, I would say a good 90% of the work that I do is by telephone. And animals, you know, an animal could have crossed over 10 years ago. And if someone wants to connect in with their energy and find out how they are or if they have any messages for them, the animals tend to show up and bring their messages. And it's really, I feel very blessed to be an interpreter of sorts.
That's cool. Well, they're sharing it with you because you're a good person. Irene Dorchi in New Zealand says, woof, woof. Kia Ora from New Zealand, people think I talk to my 2-year-old border collie as if she were a human or a baby. Her name is Thina, but a lot of the time she gets called baby. I look forward to tuning in even though it may be the middle of the night. And she wants to know, do dogs mind what you call them?
No. It's more the energy behind the words. It's the how you feel when you connect with them.
Yeah. So they can pick up the energy behind the word. I mean, I think it's, I had my dog named Maui long before I moved to the island of Maui, and I've always waxed poetic and thought, you know, beautiful things about this amazing place to live. And so I guess that warm energy that I conjure up every time I think of Maui is something that the dog is picking up as well, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Kathy Anstead in Holland, Ohio asks, she has a 7-year-old golden retriever. I'd like to know, what is the best diet that you can give here? Do you think that extra oven-roasted chicken or hamburger is brought along with dry food? Is that okay? And what about hard-boiled eggs, potatoes, and fruit?
Everything
there is
okay.
You're going to be covering this in your Pack Wisdom Secrets.
I'm going to be covering this in the class. Yeah, and the one
you're doing
thing,
this on nutrition.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the one thing that you have to be aware of is every animal is different, just like people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, most often I would say is everything that she mentioned, everything that Kathy mentioned in her letter, I would say yes to, except I would hold off on the potatoes.
Yeah.
Because in the wild, animals really wouldn't be eating starchy foods,
not
and are really not designed to digest them.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but they are designed to digest meat.
I know that Maui loves her, she gets chicken breast and basmati rice mixed with some peas and carrots, and she's very happy with that.
Yeah.
And
I would definitely, I always recommend a combination of human food. I kind of laugh when we call it human food, because when you really think about it, who was eating it first?
Very good answer. Well, this ties in with a question here from Andy in Missouri. He says veterinarians, and this is only some veterinarians, Andy, but veterinarians say dogs should be given dog food only because the diet is designed for dogs and people food is unhealthy for dogs. On the last teleconference, you said that small dogs should eat table food. I know dogs prefer table food, but are you sure that you're correct?
Well, over the last, if you really look at the last 40 years, animal health is really going downhill. And if you really go back to the basics of nature, as far as if we trace it back to the wolves, dogs are different in certain ways than wolves, but the inside of a wolf and the inside of a dog is virtually identical. So, the other, part of that is that, well, there's two parts to it. One is that wolves never sat around a campfire and cooked kibble. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
However,
which is a lot
today,
of gluten and all sorts of
exactly. And it's cooked and it's processed. And not that cooking food for animals is bad, because they can have cooked chicken, they can have cooked turkey,
right.
They can have cooked fish. It doesn't. I don't, say every dog has to be on a raw diet. I don't advocate that either. I think everything in moderation. But the other interesting part of that is that a lot of this is coming from an industry that makes $15 billion a year by feeding our pets dry foods. So, to me, I always go back and I always check in with Mother Nature. And from my work and my experience with nutrition, and I worked with cancer dogs, and I worked with dogs with irritable bowel and digestive issues and allergies and ear infections. When you change their diet back to what's a little more normal for them, what starts to happen is the body's innate healing abilities kick up, and you get an animal that's actually able to heal itself, and its immune system gets stronger because it's not being, it's not taking a hit every day from foods that aren't completely natural to it.
Well, I know from firsthand experience when you were helping me with some issues that Maui, my dog, was going through, you recommended not only some changes to the nutrition, but a nutritional supplement, a blue-green algae that we have supplemented her diet with. And here's what's interesting about that. I had her blood tested a few weeks ago for something else, and the vet who looked at the results was like, I can't believe how healthy your dog's blood is, considering all she's going through. She's 15 years old. She has all these. She has GME, all these eye problems.
Right.
And she was on antibiotics at the time, actually. And she had such very positive blood measurements. And while obviously I don't know this for a fact, I suspect intuitively, using my intuition, that it's attributable to the nutritional supplements you recommended. So you really are an expert on this. And
what's interesting to note, too, eye issues are generally related to liver issues. If the liver's functioning is not completely healthy, there is going to be eye problems. And when you think about a dog's liver and what it has to do, and its main job is to process toxins, well, if the dog's spending a lot of time processing toxins from traditional foods, could easily affect their eyes and could easily affect their entire immune system. And the nice thing about that product is it helps clear toxicity from the liver, and it helps reoxygenate and really energize the entire body, because it's a brain food. So when the body kind of gets out of balance, the brain sort of starts to get a little bit sluggish about directing every energy system in the body of what to do. So that's wonderful to hear, because it's direct evidence. We really didn't do much else.
It made a big difference in Maui's life, and it's an amazing thing. And let's just talk a little bit about this class that you're teaching. I'm moderating at Pack Wisdom Secrets. It's a 5-week class, And there are different modules. The first one is where you're going to be talking about nutrition facts and fallacies, and you're talking about the very issues that we're talking about right now in terms of diet, what to feed the animal, and are you, is that when you're going to be talking about some nutritional supplements like what we got?
I will, and I will explain some of the different supplements and how they work and why they work, and
yeah.
help people understand that a supplement is definitely different than a medication. Medications,
mm-hmm.
they have a very useful and powerful function, but what their main function is to suppress the immune system and suppress a bacteria, virus, an imbalance in the body, but it doesn't necessarily help the body regain its highest level of immune function.
Right.
And when we're looking at health, just like with humans, if the immune system is healthy, it can pretty much fend off any outside invaders.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking about how to best do that for our animals.
I hear your voice fading a little bit. I don't know if it's on your end or not. It may just be on
okay.
my end. I'm in Hawaii. So that's just in week one. In week two, you're talking about alternative healing options for pets.
Mm-hmm.
In week three, the thing that people are really interested in, what you're most known for, is how to communicate with your pet through intuition. If you guys who are on the call right now want to have a 30-minute call with Alicia, just one-on-one, stay tuned because you're going to have your opportunity coming up. Week four is natural remedies you can safely give your pet at home. And you're going to be focusing on modern-day remedies with age-old wisdom, flower essences, why behavioral problems might be emotional and what you can do about it. That is an important subject.
Yeah.
Week five is one of the ones that I find the most interesting, how pets mirror you and help you heal. What's
mm-hmm.
the deal on that?
Well, about before I started communicating with animals, I was a fitness trainer. And as a fitness trainer, I had a boss that once told me, if you're going to be a fitness trainer, you should also get your psychology degree. Because
mm-hmm.
when you're dealing with people's bodies, emotional issues are going to come up.
Yeah.
Well, after a while, that was just challenging for me because I'm not a psychologist. So
yeah.
I didn't really know how best to support people. And then the animals sort of entered my life and they helped me see that communicating with them was what I needed to do at the time. So when I got it started, I never thought I would be going back to work with people. But what started happening was the animals within 10 minutes would tell me what was wrong, how to help them, and their energy was cleared and they felt better. And then they said, now you have to talk to my person because my person is going through a challenge that you have a way of helping them understand a bigger picture about.
So the animals know that you're able to... I mean, they're able to see this, whatever the issue is that their people are having, and then the animals tell you, hey, Alicia, since you're sort of my envoy, will
mm-hmm.
you communicate this to my person?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It's really cool because I have seen, a lot of times people will come and say, okay, fix my animal.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that the animal's also trying to come in to help fix a bigger issue. Maybe an old limiting pattern, maybe a sabotaging pattern, maybe trying to help somebody reach, really, really reach and fulfill their heart's desire of what they want in life.
Yeah.
And they're really neat because they're very honest. And they really tell very specifically and very truthfully people how they can come into their highest potential and how to, it could be a problem that they've been worrying about and the animal looks at the problem and goes, look, they've been stressing about this thing at work. I want you to tell them this is what they need to do, and it's going to help clear up the whole situation.
Well,
I want to ask you a question.
I want to ask you in a minute what the most extraordinary thing an animal told you about their person ever was. You don't have to obviously reveal the name of the person or anything, mm-hmm. but I'm interested in that. If you're joining us on the call, I'm James Jacobson. We're speaking with Alicia Evans. This is Pet Conversation. Alicia is teaching a class that kicks off on Monday via this webinar technology and also via recordings. It's a 5-week class that you can find out more about if you go to www.packwisdomsecrets.com. packwisdomsecrets.com, and you can learn all about it. You can take a look at what Alicia looks like with her dachshund, and you can also get a sense of all the testimonials that people have about Alicia's amazing work. So real quickly, what was the thing that folks were the most extraordinary thing someone said about an animal said about their person, Alicia? And then we're going to go back to questions.
The absolute funniest one was a horse that I worked with in Aspen, Colorado, and the woman, his owner had called and said, "Oh my God, I'm having so much problems with my horse, and he's high-headed and he's high-strung, and I don't know what to do." And so I said, okay, I went and visited the woman and her horse, and as she's listing probably about the 17 or 18 different things that she can't tolerate about the horse looked at me and said, "Do you see what I got to put up with?" Because the horse was actually trying to help the woman, who was a very type A personality, really learn to get centered and grounded and to tune into her intuition. And him allowing her to ride him was to help her
drop herself into
the present moment.
The horse knew that. Okay, let's go back to some questions here. Nicole in Layton says, "My golden retriever Haley lays on her back a lot. Why does she do that? I haven't seen many dogs do that."
She might have an itch.
And
golden
that's
retrievers,
profound, really. Okay.
They tend to. My golden retriever, when he was a puppy, he would lay down right next to a wall and just flip on his back, and all four paws were up in the air.
Wow. So it literally can be just something as simple as an itch. Okay.
It could totally be.
Starla in Charlotte, North Carolina, is asking, "Hi, can you tell me if my dog is happy even though he's in a lot of pain with his arthritis? Some days he just looks at me like, 'Mama, help.' I work with animal rescue and do all I can for strays. I would like to know if they can really appreciate all the work, Reiki, meditation, massage that I do for them. Honestly, I know they do, but do you think that they really enjoy it and receive it?"
Yes, they do. They do.
And they tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And then speaking of Reiki and massage, those are things that you're going to be talking about in Pack Wisdom Secrets and how to do it and how to find professionals who can help you do it. Diane in Crestwood says, "Why does my dog howl? She's a black lab blue healer mix. Just out of nowhere, she'll give a short song," she puts that in quotes, "and go on about her business as if nothing happened. It can happen during an Irish song in the middle of the night or even during the day."
Do you know what? The way my gift works is having to be able to speak to people in person to be able to connect in with the animal.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really answer many specific questions about specific dogs because that's like me trying to put a telephone wire into a socket that I'm not plugged into yet.
Okay.
So if we could, I'm happy to answer questions. If we could just answer a little bit more general questions, would be great.
If you guys want to get a one-on-one session with Alicia, a 30-minute one-on-one where you can ask any question, including about your howling dog, you get that absolutely free as part of the program at packwisdomsecrets.com. So not only do you get the 5 weeks of information and informative instruction that you can participate in live over the telephone or via recordings, you can actually, at the end of it or any time, schedule a 30-minute one-on-one session with Alicia. The cost of the session itself is the same as the whole class, so I hope you'll check that out. Go to Pack Wisdom Secrets. Let's go to our next question. This is Linda in Napa, who says, "My 6-year-old golden retriever has had to have an anal gland expressed in the last year. Now it's 2 times a month. I'm feeding her a high-fiber diet the last 3 months, and she still scoots. What's going on inside? Can I hear her?"
Anal glands are typically, again, it's a high-fiber diet, and you might need to continue to feed her a high-fiber diet for a little while.
The high fiber is a good thing, and because I know that. I mean, dogs just sort of get all. That's just part of what they need to do. Are certain breeds more in need of anal gland expression, which is a lovely way of describing it, than others?
I don't know if it's as much a breed question as it is just the individual dog.
The individual dog, because they're all created equal. Here's a question. Okay. We have lots of flavors of this question. I'll just ask you in the general. When dogs die, what happens?
Dogs transition out of their bodies the same way as humans, and they make their way back up to heaven.
And
same as humans.
And how can you communicate with dogs who are passed over?
Same way that as they are here, the soul energy is what's really inhabiting the dog. And they're in these cute little bodies, just like we humans are in these cute little spacesuits. And when an animal leaves, they leave the body, but the consciousness is still able to be connected with.
Mm-hmm.
So their soul essence is still able to connect with us, even though they don't have a physical body.
Tiffany is asking, hello, Alicia, I'd like to ask you if you'll be able to know how much pain the pet will be in when an illness strikes, or are you able to basically find out how much pain an animal is in by just talking to them?
Yes. And it's interesting because a lot of times that people sense that their animal's in pain, a lot of the times the animals are in a lot less pain than the people think. There's certain times when they're painful, but
yeah.
It's not, they don't usually experience a chronic pain like we would. And, of course, it depends on the animal, and, of course, it depends on the illness. But a lot of the clients that I check in with, when I check in with the animal, they say that they have certain difficulties, possibly laying a certain way or at certain times of the day, but it's usually not a chronic pain.
Okay. Diane in Orlando says that she has an 11-year-old Maltese male who was depressed and quit eating after my 8-year-old Maltese female died. We got a new female puppy who's a natural alpha to this weak alpha, and he loves her, but he often seems put out by her energy. Aside from supporting his status, she lets him go through doors first and sits in her pen when he eats. What else can we do to support him as alpha? He needs to stay alpha because he's 80% blind and has other medical issues, but is active and healthy otherwise.
You know what? Once a dog establishes that they're alpha, they need less and less of our human help. My dog Indy is a perfect example. He, believe it or not, as little as he is my alpha dog when I run my puppy training classes and when I'm working with dogs that have different kinds of issues, be it submission or aggression. And Indy really does not need any help or any cues from me.
Yeah.
About when to take over, when to correct a puppy, or when to, you know, set it straight with a larger dog,
yeah.
That they, you know, their behavior is not tolerated. So alpha dogs really don't need as much human help. And if you lend too much help to an alpha dog, you'll sort of diminish his role or her role and power in the eyes of the other dog. So it's really best to let them do the corrections on their own.
AJ in Windsor, Ontario, asks, is there any way that my cats can be asked to give me a symbol that they do understand my attempts to communicate with them? I'm trying to learn, but I just don't feel like I'm getting anything, like no pictures, no sounds. Can they be asked to help me out? You know, like, show me a sign, kitty cat.
Absolutely. When I first started doing this work, what I would do to just make sure that it was verifiable, I would ask the animal to do something that I could see and experience and know that I had directly asked them for that, and they did it, to know that I was really communicating and they were hearing me. So what I would suggest to AJ is to, you know, it might be as simple as, if you understand me, blink your right eye, you know, and show them a mental picture of what blinking your right eye is.
Mm-hmm.
If you, you know, if you understand me, come with me into the other room right now. I would do something very specific that when you get the feedback, you can know that they're listening to you. It could be your cat sitting on the couch and you go sit down on the floor and say, hey, if you can hear me, come over and sit down in my lap.
So it's okay to tell them and to do it. And then when people do that, that's really cool. When people do that and then they get an incontrovertible sign like that, they tend to believe, I guess, more that it's possible, and then the whole communications process gets better and easier.
Exactly. And that's what I would say. You just hit on the number one reason why people block themselves from hearing their animals is because they don't believe that animals can really communicate, because that's how we grew up. That's what we were taught. You know, an animal's just an animal. They don't have a consciousness.
But kids,
they don't
naturally
know anything.
It's all about that, because kids naturally, if you think of all the children's books, it's always about talking animals.
Exactly.
And so kids knew that. And I heard this story from a friend of mine who has been doing this for a while, and she said that, you know, kids will basically say, Mommy, Rover wants a bone. And Mom will say, yeah, right, like, you know what Rover's thinking. But in fact, the kid does do it. They know how to do this.
Exactly.
But as they get older,
kids are very open, and kids
they
also they don't have judgments. And what happened with us, you know, as we get older, well, it's just a dog. It's just a cat. I mean, what do they know? They don't know anything. It's the cat. We love them, but yet we've closed the ears of our hearts to really be able to hear them communicate with us. And that's why all the indigenous tribes across the planet, they're totally tuned into the animals, and they can hear all of them because they still see them on some level as equals.
So are you going to show people how to relieve that judgment so that they can be more easy? Okay, that's going to be really important. That's all some of the stuff that you're going to be teaching in that module, Unpack Wisdom Secrets, about animal communication. Domino here in the U.S. Virgin asks, hi, this is Domino in the U.S. Virgin Islands. I wanted to ask Alicia if animals at times take on a disability such as blindness because of our teaching. Just look at how Maui has touched so many lives with her blindness. And then Domino goes on to talk about Maui and how she's looking forward to this class with us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can. I've had animals that have taken on blindness. I've had animals that have taken on cancer so that the people wouldn't get it. Sometimes it's a metaphor, you know. Animals can see. And I think we talked about this. I know that you had sent out a Pack Wisdom email about how I had spoken to you and you're getting married, and, you know, Maui has some issues with driving in the car, so we talked to her, and I said, picture everything that's going on. Show her those pictures.
Yeah.
So you have the ability to send her those pictures and help her calm down. And then there was another email that you were sitting in the backyard, and there was a mom with her feral babies.
With her feral babies,
and Maui was actually following the energy, and she was showing you things. And she was helping you be in the present moment. So it's really kind of interesting. You know, we can see with our eyes, but sometimes we see even more when we close our eyes. So they can definitely take on different things. They can take on an accident. They can take on, you know, like I said, I mean, I've seen animals that have kind of said, look, I don't want my person to get cancer, so I'll take it on. And hopefully they'll see some of the ways, you know, that I can help them either relax a little bit more or eat a little bit better or take a little bit better care of themselves. And a lot of the times the human and the animal have an opportunity to kind of clear up some of that energy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is
It's fascinating. It is absolutely, you know, I love what I do, and I feel very blessed, and I'm able to reach out and help a lot of people a year. And I'm simultaneously grateful because I constantly feel like a student. I keep learning things that I didn't even know.
If you're listening to this call and you'd like to be a student of Alicia's, I want to encourage you to go over to Pack Wisdom Secrets and check out the class. There are two ways to pay for the class, either in two installments or there's an early bird discount where you can save $20 and pay for it right now. It's backed by an unconditional money-back guarantee, which means you can go to the classes and participate in them. And if you are not totally delighted that this is the most amazing thing, that you've gotten these incredible insights, then you can ask for your money back, and we will give it to you. And the best part, I guess, is we'll call it the ethical bribe, the reason that if you're on the fence about joining Alicia for this five-week class, the best part is that you will get a one-on-one 30-minute reading telephone consult, just like we're doing here, but specifically to ask questions about your pet. So go to packwisdomsecrets.com. You can read it. You can read all the testimonials from her clients, and you'll be blown away and see all the great things that people have to say about Alicia, and also be able to participate in the class by signing up. Let's go to a question from Patty P. in Whitehall, Maryland. She asks, how can you communicate to cats that you need to treat them with meds, et cetera, to make them feel better? I'm usually able to do it once and looked at like a monster every time additional treatments are needed.
Well, a lot of times what happens when we have to give our animals meds and they don't like it,
mm-hmm.
we keep replaying in our mind
mm-hmm.
the last time we had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what starts to happen is we start projecting that picture. Our physiology, they start to feel our energy, that we're getting anxious. And remember, even though our dogs and our cats are domesticated, or even our horses, they still are instinctual that when they sense fear or if they sense agitation, they want to move away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the best things that Patty can do is that before she needs to give the animals meds, to sit down, to get really quiet and just close her eyes and relax and breathe, and actually have a mental picture of her going over to her cat with the medicine, really calm, letting them know, I need to give you this to help you, and, you know, I need you to take it. Then that will change her physiology, and it changes the picture to the animal. So a lot of times the animals are easier to work with.
I noticed that makes perfect sense. That's great advice. I noticed mm-hmm. that there was a while where I had to give Maui an IV fluid,
mm-hmm.
and it was just a tiny little needle, but both Molly and I were terrified of it. Now, this is a blind dog who
exactly.
can't see squat, but she was able to start getting incredibly terrified and anxious because she was picking up on our anxiety
exactly.
about giving the dog an IV.
Exactly.
So the key
is sometimes, and that happens too even with dog training. You know,
yeah.
if your dog had an incident where you saw your dog go at another dog or another dog come at your dog, well, what's in your mind is still that old picture. So as soon as you start to see another dog come, what do you start doing? You start tightening up on the leash. You start feeling fearful. Now, your dog knows one of two things. Either you're in charge or I'm in charge. So what happens is all of a sudden your dog starts to go, oh, wow, you're afraid? Okay, so then you're not the leader. I must be the leader. So it actually intensifies what was going on, which is what we're trying to correct. But what we don't realize is we can't fault the dog for it because we're actually helping invoke that habit in the dog by not having, you know, cleaned out. It's almost like your computer. You know, sometimes you have to delete old files.
Mm-hmm.
We have to delete those old files out of our mind because then it gets into a habit. And when it gets into a habit, the dog just learns a new habit. So it's very, very important for us to be clear about where we're coming from and the energy that we're sending to the animal and also what our picture is. Because if our picture is going to make us nervous, it's certainly going to make our animal nervous.
Laurie in Manteo, North Carolina asks, is the liver and eye connection the same in dogs as it is in humans?
Yes, it is. In Chinese medicine, they connect the five different organs. And there's yin organs and there's yang organs. So
yeah.
In Chinese medicine, you've got the liver and the gallbladder, the lung and the large intestine, the stomach and the spleen, the kidney and the gallbladder, and the heart and the small intestine. So whether it's a human or whether it's an animal, from a Chinese medical perspective, yes, it's the same in a human as it is in an animal. And based on 5,000 years worth of their medicine and having gone to a phenomenal acupuncturist from China and having studied the systems, I would take it any day over any system.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Moira is asking, I've taken a few courses in South Africa on animal meditation, but she does not practice a lot. I didn't realize people in South Africa are teaching animal meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I know a lot of people get it from my book, but I've never heard anyone teaching a class. That's awesome. Often an animal who needs help is in a dream of the animals on the farm we stay on, not on our own farm. come, mm-hmm. these dreams come to her, and when they're in the same position that they have when they are experiencing pain from their illness, they seem to know that I have an interest in them and that others do not have an interest in them. Am I imagining this, or do you agree that they would have knowledge of this?
I would definitely agree. And I've also had animals. A friend of mine had a cat, and the cat didn't show up one night. And the next night I had a dream that the cat was being chased by coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, I kept thinking, well, your cat's going to come home, your cat's going to come home. But I saw the dream, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can come to you in dream time, and they can let you know exactly what's going on. Because a lot of the times we don't have the same filters in our dreams that we do in our waking state.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's easier for them to connect with us and for them to, you know, show up and tell us things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had dreams. I had a dream about 3 years ago about this herd of horses that I was going to meet. And I kept saying, yeah, where am I going to meet this herd of horses? Here you have a girl that grew up in the Bronx. And where is she going to meet this wild herd of horses? And about a month ago, they showed up. I had met someone who rescued wild horses, and I went into this field, and there they were.
Well,
so sometimes they can tell you things ahead of time, too.
Here's a question about dreams. Jan Hickerson in San Diego says, about 5 years ago, we adopted a 2-year-old female pug. Often she'd wake up in the middle of the night terrified and ready to fight. It
mm-hmm.
seemed like she was having very bad dreams and was only defending herself. After about 3 years, she rarely has these spells and is the most loving pug you could ever hope for. Do dogs dream, or do they have nightmares? And what do you think would cause them to come out of a sound sleep in a full attack mode? Needless to say, this was very scary for us, especially since she slept in our bed and it was
mm-hmm.
us she attacked.
Oh,
she backed
wow.
off once she was fully awake. Whew! That's a
yeah.
great question, Jan. So
that's
what do you think, Alicia?
Well, animals, definitely I believe they dream. Because they tend to enter REM sleep states just like we do when we fall asleep and we can kind of twitch or we move in our sleep. They can also, what it sounds like with that particular dog was that she might have had some abuse issues.
Yeah.
And so it was just a, you know, a defensive state that she kind of got herself into. And being adopted by a very loving family and coming to recognize that nothing was going to hurt her,
yeah.
that seems to have shifted her
yeah.
back into her sweet little state.
Just that will do it.
Yeah.
We're talking with Alicia Evans. It's almost an hour. I think, can we go a little bit longer? Do you have time to take a few
sure.
more questions? We're filmed. If you want to find out more about this class, or if you want to see a picture of Alicia and her dachshund Indy, go to www.packwisdomsecrets.com and sign up for this 5-week class that Alicia is doing. I am moderating. It's going to be an amazing opportunity to ask to get answers to all these questions on these really important subjects. And then, as a bonus, you're going to get a private one-on-one call with Alicia where you can ask anything about your own pet. That's included. It's all part of the package. And if you want to find out, go to Pack Wisdom Secrets, how it works. There are two payment options, one with two easy payments of $98.50 and one where is an early bird special for $177. You can get in on the class. You get all 5 weeks, all the materials, all the downloads, all the recordings, as well as a live 30-minute call with Alicia. Okay, here's a question. Just want to let you know that I tried asking my cat to give me a signal. This is AJ from Windsor again. Just tried to give me a signal that it understands me and took your advice, and oh, my God, it works. I asked a shy fellow to come over to me where I'm sitting, and he did it almost immediately. Thank you, Alicia. Well,
yeah,
that's AJ
welcome.
In Windsor, so you can see this is happening live in real time. Someone asked earlier, yep. Is this a live call? It absolutely is. Your advice works. And so if you want to practice, AJ, I hope you join us for this class because you've just begun to see the beginning of all the things that Alicia has in store. Let's go to another question. Here, I have so many questions. If you still have questions, just type them in real quickly, and I'll try to get to as many as possible. Jennifer in Franklinville, New Jersey, says, in public and in private, my dog has a healthy curiosity and wants to smell new people, but he runs when the person reaches out to pet him. Mm-hmm. I want him to be more social than that. What games and exercises should I show him, and what behavior so that he'll become more, social? Thanks. Duncan is a 3-year-old dog who comes from a shelter, and we've had mm-hmm. it for 5 months.
And that's really, really typical with shelter dogs. Mm. With a shelter dog, you always want them to feel like they're able to be free. If they need to move away, they can. Because if, for whatever reason, if they were abused or if they had ever lived on the street, you never want to corner a dog and make them feel like they have no means of escape, because then their only means of defense is their mouth. Mm-hmm. So what I would do, what I would suggest for Jennifer with her dog is, now that she's had him for a little while, instead of letting him run away, redirect his behavior and ask him for a sit. Ask him to start paying attention to Jennifer more than he's paying attention to the other people. Mm-hmm. And if Jennifer can take that role of alpha, then what it's going to do is help her dog feel more comfortable and more safe that his alpha is protecting him, so he'll be more receptive to other people coming to him and allowing himself to be petted.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Here's sort of a sad one. This is from Mary Bauer in Lake Dallas, Texas. How can I ask my pet if they're terminally ill and in pain or not? I have 2 basset hounds that have abdominal cancer tumors. I knew something was wrong, but not what, and the blood test showed nothing. It wasn't until the tumor was huge that they were really near death before I knew something was wrong. Anyway, I can communicate my – is there any way that I can communicate my concerns and find out from the pet what is wrong?
What I would do in that case is just very similar to what AJ is doing. Mm-hmm. I would sit down and get very quiet. And this one's a tricky one, because especially when an animal has an illness, we have so much our emotional selves.
Yeah.
It tied into our animals. So we might not allow ourselves to hear the truth, because
yeah.
we might be afraid. But what I would do to try it is to sit down and get really quiet and just allow, most of the time what we tend to do when we want to ask our animals a question, we go right up to our head. Because we're so used to being in our head to ask questions. I would recommend to come down into your heart and just sit really quiet and share an open, loving, quiet space with your animals for a few minutes. And just ask them either to show you with a picture, to tell you with words, or to help you feel what is going on with them and how you can best support them. That's where I would start. So it's the difference of asking from the head, because with the head we usually try to figure things out. And when you're communicating with animals, we don't have to figure it out, because they're usually pretty clear. We just have to quiet ourselves enough to hear their clarity.
And you're going to show people how to quiet themselves.
Yes.
Of course, I recommend meditation, but you have a whole bunch of techniques. Ed Gardner in Alpine, Wyoming asks, Alicia, animals seem to fear some words that create fear. For example, our dog is scared of kaboomba, which meant firecrackers.
Mm-hmm.
Is it common for animals to deep think in past and present?
They can, and also remember, for most of us humans, although we don't realize it, when we're saying words, we're generally associating pictures with it.
Yeah.
So whether the dog knows the specific word or the dog is picking up on the specific picture that's being associated with it, and then the vibration of those words,
mm-hmm.
that one's a little tricky to tell. Some dogs definitely understand the word. Most of the time, it's coming from a picture that we're sending to them, but not realizing that we're sending it to them when we're saying it. So, yes, they can definitely pick up on that.
Georgia in Vancouver, Canada asks, Alicia, you said that it's possible to communicate to our pets and for them to communicate to us. Now, what if we cannot seem to hear them, yet they still hear us? In other words, do they know what I am saying to them, or do we both have to be able to be in sync in order for the communication to work?
Well, it goes back to my theory of God was very smart when animals said, we'll take a vow of silence and we'll go back to help humans.
Yeah.
They always hear what we say.
Yeah.
Always. And they know what we say. It's just us again. We're thinking, well, I'm a human and they're a dog. So they can't understand me. And they're a dog, but I'm a human, so I can't understand them. So those are really kind of projections that we have because of what we were taught as children and how we grew up to think that animals, you know, we can't communicate. So one of the things that we'll work on in the class is getting through those barriers of the limiting beliefs that we've held and why we've closed down our ability to communicate with animals and how to open that back up.
Alicia Sarahan in California asks, Alicia, what you're describing sounds very similar to what Cesar Millan, star of The Dog Whisperer on National Geographic Channel, describes as communicating with energy. Do you agree or disagree with Cesar Millan's perspective on dog psychology in relation to becoming in tune with our instinctual side?
Well, I definitely agree. I know that Cesar, as a child, was a karate student.
Mm-hmm.
So Cesar really got tuned into energy at an early age. A lot of the people in this country are just starting to learn about energy. You know, I would say maybe over the last 20 years, with a huge influx of Indian influence and yoga and a huge influence, influx of Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely believe it. I think on a psychology level, it's a little bit, the psychology, when you get into dog psychology and you act with the dog in an energetic way, so less word, more action, by, you know, standing in. One of the things that Cesar teaches is, you know, you need to be the leader. So if you're going to be the leader, you have to be in that energy stance of being the leader, and that's what your dog picks up on. So I absolutely agree with him, and I really think he's phenomenal, and he's brought out not just dog training, but how we need to train ourselves to be leaders to our animals.
Okay.
And I think he's done a phenomenal job. I highly applaud him.
Yeah, Cesar and I are, you know, often booked, like when CNN did a story of last year, they had they put him and me together. So I'm like the meditation guy, and he's the psychologist. And it does tend to pair well, and I really think Cesar's an amazing guy. He's helped a lot of people in that National Geographic show.
Absolutely.
Here, Brenda in Calgary, Canada says, what is the right way to vaccinate? Less is better? Rabies shots? I'm sure the yearly vaccines caused my dog's cancer.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know of any foolproof studies that have been done that prove that vaccines are as effective as they are and that they need to be given, that are as ineffective as is said, because our animals are supposedly supposed to be vaccinated every year,
mm-hmm.
and for rabies every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
What is available to people is the ability to do titers, which is an annual blood test where they'll draw blood from your dog or your cat, and they'll send it to a specific lab. I want to say it's at Kansas State University.
It's at the University of Kansas.
Yeah, exactly. And then from that blood test, they'll be able to detect the level of vaccination that's active, and if it's active, the animal doesn't need the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, as far as my personal belief and my work with clients, if your dog's been vaccinated for 3 or 4 years, and sometimes even 2, I would go with titers more than I would just bring the animal in and go get them vaccinated.
Right.
And the other part of that is that there is a veterinarian, I believe her name is Dr. Jean Dodds, and there is a vaccination study that she's helping raise money for. It's going to be a 7-year, very inclusive study to actually prove whether or not the vaccine levels are still active. So the more people that are actually going to get titers as opposed to blood tests, as opposed to just vaccinating the animal, will actually help to, you know, bring a little more validity to how often animals actually need to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
From my perspective, if your animal has a healthy immune system, and that's the real place that you want to focus, that's when they're less likely to get sick. So I would really focus, you know, get a titer and work with the immune system to help enhance the immune system, and that tends to clear up a lot of illness and disease in the body.
And in the Pack Wisdom Secrets class, you're going to be going over ways to help dogs and cats improve their immune system.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's go over a few of the things. If you're still on this call, we still have lots of people who are joining us. I want to encourage you and maybe even bribe you to check out this five-week class that Alicia is teaching. I am moderating. It starts on Monday, but if you can't make it live for the call, they're all going to be recorded. However, you can ask questions ahead of time, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It starts on Monday. Go to packwisdomsecrets.com to read more about it and to read these amazing testimonials from people who have been working with Alicia for years. Those are in the yellow boxes on the right-hand side. So in the first week, Alicia, you're going to be covering nutrition facts and fallacies, things like man's diet, how it's been modified for our pets, how veterinarians learn about nutrition, who teaches them, and how long they've been studying it. That's sort of controversial. Nature's plan for the perfect pet diet, pet health over the decades, and how it has fluctuated. You talk about teeth. Now, my dog does not have very good teeth, and that is probably something that is not good. And well, why are teeth so important and in terms of nutrition?
Well, one, they help the animal break down the food.
Right.
But two, when the teeth start to go bad or there's any kind of bacteria that's sitting in the gum line, that can really start affecting the animal's immune system.
Right.
So way before you might see a physical symptom, you could be, you know, helping to keep your animal healthier by keeping a watch on their teeth and learning some of the reasons why teeth are starting to, probably over the last 20 to 25 years, why they've gotten worse and worse. Because, you know, 30, 40 years ago, there was nowhere near the amount of focus on dental cleaning that there is today.
And so you think it's actually caused by the foods that the manufacturer...
It's a combination. You know, it's a combination of foods. It's a combination of being exposed, you know, to different energies and not having the things, the supplements and the minerals and the vitamins that they need to help break down, not only to break down the food, but absorbing from the food, which is kind of weakening their systems. And so teeth is kind of an earlier indicator, hey, something else could be going on with the body.
Wow. Week two, which is going to be on November 26th, again, using this same technology that you're listening to us now, whether you're listening to us on the Internet through live streaming or on the telephone, or if you're listening to a replay, the same technology is going to be utilized, but you're going to have handouts and a lot of charts and graphs and things that you can use and reference during the class that will break down every point that Alicia is talking about. In week two on November 26th, the point of that module is alternative healing options that you have for your pet. She's going to be talking about how Western doctors are trained and why it can be difficult for some of them to see options outside of their training. Alicia is going to be covering the real expense of invasive procedures like surgeries and strong drugs that usually represent a band-aid approach to healing. What are some of the real costs of that, the real issues involved with that?
The real issues involved with...
With surgery. I mean, you know, why is... oftentimes surgery is something that is prescribed. Are there unnecessary surgeries?
There are, and I won't say all of them. You know, in no way, mean, shape, or form would I ever put down Western medicine because it's definitely got valuable, you know, valuable points to it. But we're coming into an age of information. And so in that age of information, we need to have all of the information available to us and all the options to maybe go from a preventative standpoint, not just wait till something happens and have surgery as our last option. And through my studies with Chinese medicine and acupuncture and chiropractic and supplements and Bach flower essences and different remedies, and Reiki, I mean, it's been amazing to me to really start to come to understand that many of the things that we're told, sorry, we can't do anything about, could have been prevented years or months before by simple changes. And not necessarily, you know, if you're on one antibiotic and that's not working, it's not always that you're going to try another antibiotic and that one works.
Try something a little different. And what I think is so cool is in that second module, you're going to help your students figure out how to connect themselves with talented, gifted, trained acupuncturists and Chinese herbal practitioners and people who are outside of the general traditional vet area. You're going to show them how to find chiropractic care for your dogs and massage. And that, I think, is just amazing because you're going to be pointing people in the right way, including something called swim therapy. Is that as fun as I think it sounds?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like throwing in – there's actually therapy for – is this, I presume, for dogs. Cats aren't going to like this. But what's the purpose of swim therapy?
Swim therapy is awesome rehabilitation therapy for a lot of animals that have had surgery, knee surgeries, back surgeries. It's non-weight-bearing. In most instances, the animals are in a life jacket, and they're swimming around a pool for about anywhere from 15 minutes to 20 minutes. It's fabulous. It's so fabulous for them because it can help them. Animals can't give us humans feedback. Not every human, you know, even doctors. Doctors, one of my dreams is to be able to work with doctors to help them open up their communication abilities, because when you can hear the animal and they're pointing you to the direction of where something hurts or where something's off, a lot less invasive procedures need to be done. It's easier to pinpoint. So when they're going through rehab, the person that's working with them, they can't tell them, hey, I've got a little less balance on my left back leg, but, you know, I don't know how to shift it to my right. But when they're in the pool and they don't have to be weight-bearing, it's a lot easier for them to get their balance back and strengthen their body in an even way because they don't have to limp and they have more of an ability to use a limb without the same kind of pressure that they get when the limb touches the floor and then the pain kind of shoots back up either into the knee or the elbow or the shoulder.
Alicia is such an expert. She's going to be showing you and telling you about all these therapies that you might not have ever heard of and how to get them. In week three of the Pet Secrets, Pack Wisdom Secrets class, which is going to be on December 3rd, you are going to cover the thing that probably a lot of folks who are listening to us right now are interested in, how to communicate with your pet through intuition. This is where Alicia is going to basically open up her bag of tricks, everything that she has developed over the last 10 years of doing this, and show you how to be able to communicate using this mental imagery and these sounds and being able to put yourself in a space so that you can talk to and get answers from your pet, just like she has been doing on this call and just like she is going to be able to do with you on a private one-on-one 30-minute call that you get as a bonus when you sign up today for Pack Wisdom Secrets. Go to Pack Wisdom Secrets to find out more. That's what you're covering in week three, which is, as I said, on December 3rd. In week four, Alicia is going to be covering natural remedies that you can safely give your pet at home. She's going to be talking about easy and inexpensive cures for most pet health issues. Do you usually find, Alicia, that there are, like, I guess, I hate to say this, but there are lots of ways to skin a cat. There's a lot of, I hear the cat go, people out there going, oh,
yeah, I'm going, no, let's not talk about skinning cats or two birds with one stone.
But have
let's replace those with something else.
There are, I can't think of something right now, but there are lots of ways of addressing an issue, and some of them are the expensive ways, and some of them are the inexpensive ways, and so you're going to be showing people how to do it naturally, and which tends to be less expensive. In that class, she's also going to be talking about flower essences and why they work. She's also going to be dealing with issues of homeopathy, herbs, which herbs to use for which problems, and where to get herbs that you can trust. There's a lot of talk about using herbs, but if you want to know where you can get the herbs, Alicia has the answers. She's going to be talking about how you can treat your pet at home without guidance, and the importance of moderation nutritional supplements, including the sources of supplements that she turns to, just like the blue-green algae that I mentioned earlier in this call that I have been feeding my dog, that when the vet looked at her blood and said, I don't know what you're doing, but her blood is much healthier than a dog of her age with her condition should be. I credit that with the algae that she turned me on to, and that's what Alicia is going to be talking about in week four and giving you these resources. And finally,
and
in week...
Please remember, too, I am not a veterinarian,
right.
and these are complementary alternatives that you can use in conjunction if something is wrong with your animal, by all means. You need to go to the vet. But you can also have ways to help ease some discomfort in your animal's body and help bring back a balance a little bit more naturally in support with other modalities that you might need to use, because there's no way, shape, or form that we want to put your animal in any kind of compromised health. So, you know, we're going to give you things that more likely that at the onset of something little that you see going on, you can start working with it and you can start seeing if the therapies are working to prevent a bigger problem. That's really going to be the huge focus of this class, because it's a lot of times when little things are happening, it's easier to help a problem when it's little than when it becomes really, really big. So that's what we're really going to be working on, to help give you this information that you might not have had available to you before, so that when you're starting to see something a little bit out of balance, you can start to handle it. And then we'll also talk about certain therapies that you can use in conjunction if the problems get larger.
In week five, that's fascinating. In week five, I'm looking at all these questions that are still coming in. We're going to go to like one or two more questions. But let me tell you what you're going to get in week five of the class. It's how pets mirror you and help you heal. This is what I think is fascinating. This is what Alicia was talking about, her psychology background, how animals know something about you, and they are reflecting things back that you can, when you understand them, get a better sense of what's going on, not only for the animal, but for you. Pets mirror us, and they can all help us heal. We can heal through what we learn is from them, and, of course, they're healing through us. It's an amazing process. Alicia unlocks the keys to all of that. That will be in week five of the class, which is on December 17th. When you sign up for PackWisdomSecrets.com tonight, you will not only get all of these classes, all this material, the downloads of it so that you can listen to it over and over and over, but you can also get the videos that go with it so you can watch them and experience it in a multimedia format. Additionally, everyone who signs up gets a 30-minute one-on-one call with Alicia, where you can ask anything about your animal, anything that you wouldn't even want to have asked tonight. You can ask it one-on-one with Alicia. Just go to PackWisdomSecrets.com, scroll down. There are two payment options that you can sign up for tonight. There are still spots available, both in the regular class, which is two payments of $98.50, or one payment of $177. You save $20, and you can do that. Go to Pack Wisdom Secrets. We have time for one more call, and then we got to call it an evening. Alicia, this has been a great call. Let's take this question from Carol, who asks, my golden retriever seems to know English very well, and we believe that she must have lived in another life to know the things that she seems to know. She tries to talk, and we believe that she says several sentences like, yeah, I want that, and Mom, I love you. Alicia, do you believe that our animals come to us from another life? She seems like she knows too much English to be a simple dog. She must have lived another life to know what she knows. What are your thoughts on the afterlife of dogs?
Well, there's definitely the dogs that come in that are very old souls. I mean, they just look at you, and it's sort of like they look right through you,
yeah.
And they know. They just know. I won't classify it into breed-specific dogs, but poodles tend to be like that, and border collies tend to be like that, and there's, you know, all different breeds have them. But, yes, there's some very old-soul dogs, and then you have some dogs that you just look at and go, oh, must be your first trip around here.
That's just a puppy.
You are just a dog.
Yeah.
And they can still communicate, but they just have it's more they just sort of came back to have a lot of fun.
The profundity of their thoughts may be a little less profound.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. Well, Alicia, this has been amazing. I really thank you for joining us on Pet
You're
Conversation.
You're so welcome.
Tonight. We've had folks from all over the globe join us, and I want to thank you. I'm going to open up the lines for 1 second just so that you can yell out and say aloha to Alicia. Let me unmute everyone right now.
Aloha.
You're all unmuted, so say aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for being on the call, and everybody have a wonderful evening.
Hey, they're muted again. Thank you so much. We've had lots
thank
of folks who joined
you.
Us on the line and who joined us via the webinar. If you missed some of this, go to listen to the replay at this very website. It will be up in a few minutes at petconversation.com, and I really encourage you to join us on Monday when the kickoff of PAC Wisdom Secrets begins. You can sign up for the class tonight, read everything on the page, look at those testimonials, and realize that it is all backed by 100% money-back guarantee. The reason that we offer the guarantee is people might be a little incredulous about all this, but they have to experience it firsthand, and once you do, you will have your mind blown. So I hope to see you guys on the calls over the next 5 weeks. They start Monday. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. Good night and aloha.
Aloha.